Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing holds me back and nothing stands in my way. No violence or negativity will come against me. No, not by men nor pretense gods, not by negative spirit, lost souls, vicious entities, or ill will thoughts, will words, or the victor over my lower self. There is no chaos in my life, for I am Ray.
Nehes and Bugo, waking all
the heck, and who awaken, awaken. The sun, we are the one we've been waiting for. We are the sun. You, the sun is coming. The sun is here. We are the sun. We are the sun. We are the sun. Alucre, I am the sun. Alucre, I am the sun. Alucre, I am the sun. A new Heru. We are the divine life without. Be the life force within.
Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku, the show is Wat Dawu, The Comedic Path to Peace. It is a joy and a privilege to be here with you another week and enjoying the aftermath of a tremendous storm and knowing that we've awakened to another day with things being refreshed and the earth being refreshed with the lovely wetness of rain. Oh, my goodness, I love the rain. And, you know, so much so that I keep forgetting to buy an umbrella, and then I'll buy one and I'll leave it someplace because I'm just so used to walking in the rain. I've usually got some kind of a brim on to deflect it a bit, but still, I've loved playing in the rain since I was a child. I love walking in the rain. I'm not saying you're going to find me out there in some monsoon, which we had yesterday, but I was out there before it got a little too bad, and truly enjoyed it. I enjoy the haunting beauty of the rain. And you know what? If you enjoy water the way that I do, then I'd love to hear from you. And, you know, write to me at imaku@imaku.com to let me know what your feelings are on the water. You know, Akeru, Temple of the True Living Waters, is the only Kemetic water temple in modernity. And we honor all of the elements, but we have a really special relationship with the water. And even so, in general, I'd love to hear from you. I hear from so many of you after the show and or these classes, these free online classes. I truly enjoy sharing them with you, and the feedback I have gotten has been absolutely tremendous, and I'm grateful for you, and I thank you so very much. I send my love and my warmth to every one of you. We're going to get started. Oh, by the way, that song, we haven't heard it in a while. You know, I used to open Wat Dawu with portion of that song. That is the subtitle is the Sunshine Song, but it is, my own music here, let me see, it's Kumre, Kumre, yes, and it's based on a Kemetic chant, Kumre Re, Kumre Re, Kumre, Kumre, Kumre Re, and, you know, I love taking chants and you know, traditional chants, and rearranging them some of the modern spin on them. So the music, the fabulous music, is of course by my my wonderful buddy Freddie O. Moises, and please visit him online over at Reverb Nation, and that's Moises, M-O-I-S-E-S, to hear more of and to buy his fine music. Many of you who are familiar with my previous show, Nubia Goddess Rising, I've heard much of Freddie's music when I've done meditations, and he's amazing. Let me close my window here. Because since the weather is so much nicer today, well, I'm not going to say it's nicer. Since the sun is out today, let's put it that way. Since the sun is out today, that means that there's a greater chance of being able to hear more stuff going on the street because people will be outside. So let's prevent that. And you all know I've had this running gag with the show getting interrupted in various ways. Let's put the energy out there that I will not deal with any kind of or have any interruptions today. Today's show, we'll be talking about understanding comedic garb and jewelry. And, you know, I mentioned in the last show that I don't really understand why people feel like that in order to be comedic that they have to walk around looking like they have stepped out of the artwork from the temples. But there still is garb that we wear that I feel is and know significant to our culture. The thing is to make sure you're not walking around looking as though you're in a costume, although some people assume that things that are pertaining to the culture are costume because it's not Western garb. But anyway, we'll get into that. Let us open very quickly with the comedic version of the Lord's Prayer. And let me clarify something with that now. I just want you to understand that this translation reflects the comedic view on where the Netzaru are in our lives and what we ask for from them. But it's also good for you to understand this. Even though I open up by saying our mother and father, Netzaru, because we believe in mother and father, our mother and father, Netzaru, who exist in and are of heaven, we understand that the Netzaru, or God, or the mother, father, God, exists in everything and everywhere. Giving them the cosmic nod is a way of acknowledging the fact that they were birthed from the cosmos, and as above, so below. So they exist above, they exist below, they are everywhere. And that also means that they live within you. As you call upon them, you open up that energy within yourself to manifest, to connect with those special characteristics and features that go with the various guardians. You are a walking superpower. A lot of you don't even realize it. And once you humble yourself and drop into the flow and listen and understand what they feel like and what they do, then you will have a greater understanding of what you are capable of. You are without limits. Well, there is a limit in terms of understanding boundaries. That's what the 42 laws are for. But in terms of the whole notion, I can't. Get that out of your head, okay? Once you understand energy and how you flow with it and how you can appropriately shape it, you can overcome. Let us begin. Mutnu e'etefnu Netzaru v'netiu imherit. Our mother and father Netzaru, who exist in and are of heaven, renuchenu jaser, your names are sacred. Per perheruchenu, your kingdom come, ir ebechenu, your will is done, imtacher imchet, on earth as in heaven. Erdinu herupen, give us this day, kaunu, our daily bread, nechat en achau, have mercy on our misgivings, As we pardon our transgressors, turn us from evil, rescue us from folly, your kingdom, your power, your glory and divinity, forever and ever. Amen. Imenit. Anacharech ma'et, dua ma'et, sperdi ma'et, hekechem herupen. Manifest yourself, ma'et. Thank you. I pray, ma'et, for your guidance on this day. I will not do wrong. I will not steal. I will not immerse myself in depression. I will not violate another being, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictate of nature. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman's mate. I will not engage in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act with selfish, destructive aggression. I will not take a life outside of my age, nor disrespect the life force. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children. I will not mistreat animals. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within my age. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work. I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offering. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not blaspheme the Most High and its Shir. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. Thank you, Ma'et, for your good words. Yeritu invocation. Nisi Aradi, I invoke security. Nisi Khari, Ishibar Jaser, I invoke joy and a divine flow. Nisi Peret and Chat in Ibjis, courage and a divinely aligned will. Anuk Nehes, I am awake. Nisi Mer Jaser Imheteru, I invoke divine love. Nisi Me'et, I invoke harmony and balance. Nisi Makeru Jaser, I invoke divine correct speech. Hermia Set, I am on my throne. Nisi Amyukat Wab, I invoke pure thoughts. Nisi Jaser, I invoke divinity. We're doing short versions today, so today we're just going to jump to the short form of the... Oh, no, we must do the ancestor prayer. Emshirtu, to the ancestors. Tegesnu, we follow your footsteps. Tuau, many thanks to you. Erjunuku, you give us light. Ernuku, we give you light. Etnukebu, we pour libation. Etkenu, we remember you. Keru renucheru genu, we speak your names. Take a moment and call the names of your ancestors of light, those who have given you guidance, wisdom, and their love. Mernuketepu, we wish you peace and blessings. Mernu Sharem, we wish you peace and freedom. Ernu Merea, we give you love. Tuau, many thanks. Anacharak Yakut, Anacharak Shepsu, Dua Yakut, Dua Shepsu. Erdi Yakut is Shepsu, Rek, Chek, Chekau, Mer Neferet Hetepu, Urek Sekemet Anu, Anuk Kut Em Shepsu Nebu. Sekinu, sekinu, sekinu. Duau, duau, duau. Genk, genk, genk. And finally, and that your Archangel Gunebu manifest yourselves, water spirits of light. Dua Njitunebu, Anuk Njitunebu, thank you, I am you. Anuk Imakut, Yeyi Ebuab, Irini Khat Jaser, Duasani, I am a sacred vessel. I come with pure intentions. I do good work. Help me, please. Erdi Ank Nefer, Waj Nefer, Mer Nefer, Ish Enu Nefer. Bring me a good life, good health, good love, and good revenue. Iyati, Teki, Oreki, Semishes Sia. Embrace me, guide me, protect me, help me receive wisdom. Mesef Sef Maetem Anki. May all this flow harmoniously in my life. Anuk Imakut, Yei Ebuab, Irini Chat Jaser, Semi Seketi, I am a sacred vessel. I come with pure intentions. I do sacred work. Help me advance successfully. Dua Njitunebu, thank you, water spirits of light, all. Njitun Efer Ea, Njitun Rer Ea, Njitun Kuten Mer Ea, Anuk Emkeru Echenu, Duau, Duau, Duau. Water spirits of the greatly good, water spirits, great nurturers of great light and love. My life is in your hands. Many thanks to you. Enk, enk, enk. Give thanks, give thanks. Okay, a few quick announcements. We will be having auditions for the theater branch of Akeru, Temple of the True Living Waters. I announced last week that we are turning our attention to the arts, which has always been incorporated in Akeru Temple in the teachings I provide, because as an artist, how could I not? So it is the most effective way to be able to teach. But I'll tell you something. Sacred theater is something that started back in ancient Kemet. Now, we're going to be bringing the stories of our people on the reel. We'll be dealing with Kemetic culture and other aspects of African culture, but you'll be able to learn a lot from a contemporary perspective about Kemetic culture, but also about what's going on in our communities, bringing the political voice, the social voice, celebrating who we are as a people today, and also where we have come from the ancient to the now. So and the auditions are this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Refall Headquarters. That's at 271 South 9th Street in Newark. If you're coming via public transportation, all you have to do when coming into Penn Station is, that's Penn Station Newark, is to go to the information desk, and information will, once you give them the address, make sure you say South, make sure you say South 9th. I'm telling you, I had a person in the booth who gave me the wrong information. They'll print it out for you, and it's only because I have been before that I realized that when I looked at it after I got on the bus that she gave me for North 9th, even though I emphasized South 9th. 271 South 9th Street, not Avenue Street, okay? So anyway, if you give that correct information to them and make sure they give it back to you correctly, you'll find out which buses will take you there. If you want to grab a cab, there are cabs outside, of course. And come prepared to do a short reading, you know, whether it is a spoken word piece that you want to do or a monologue, you have 5 minutes. If you are coming to dance, then be prepared to dance. Bring your music with you. Bring a CD, okay? If you want to bring your own player and all that, that's fine, okay? But also, if you're a musician and you want to, you know, show your chops, then please do that. We are welcoming everybody. And you do not have to be a professional, okay? I mean, trust me. By the time you go on, I'm going to have you looking like you are, and you will be. All right, because I don't put people out there like that. This is grassroots theater, and everybody moves up and forward together to tell our stories, okay? Yes, I'll be director, and producer, and I'm going to get up on stage myself because, you know, that's my background. So please, I look forward to seeing you. I'm getting a lot of response. I hope that all of you that you're coming are going to come. So let's see what else. I know y'all have been waiting for this new book. I think I found some time. I've been slowly working on, working on finishing Wataou, The Comedic Path to Peace. I've opened up some holes in my schedule. I give thanks to Moot Sashate. She, my personal assistant, she has helped me tremendously. She sends me my itinerary every day, and oh my goodness, I love her so much. Things are getting finished. Our T-shirt arrived from the, oh my goodness, we had a fundraising drive, and it's still ongoing, you know. But this company I'm dealing with, well, first I had to change companies, okay, then the wrong order was put in. I had to call them on the carpet about that. Then there were mishaps with delivery and so forth. Finally, and here's what's funny, because and here go the texts, okay. Anyway, I was supposed to get them today. Well, here was my nice surprise. In the monsoon yesterday, there was a knock on my door, because you know my doorbell still busted. And it was this soggy who had the delivery a day early. Okay, so here's kudos. All right, so anyway, so they'll be going out to the individuals who ordered them very soon. Give thanks. They came out lovely, too. And you will be receiving two short-sleeved T-shirts, because now the weather is warm. Instead of the one that you paid for, which was long-sleeved, you will be getting two, and the two different designs. So, you know, we believe in balance and fairness in all things. And so I thank you for your love and your patience. And monies that we raise help with the ongoing, with upkeep of, you know, temple expenses online and elsewhere. And then also with our, the big thing, though, is that I take a good portion of it and feed the hungry. So, you know, you heard my story last week about Susan. I try my best to walk around with some extra money in my pocket in case I come across someone who's hungry. So, anyway, I'm sure there are other things, but it's already almost 2:30. So let's move forward into today's topic. Okay, so wearing comedic garb is something that I find it definitely marks you. People know what you believe, and you know, because of the particular garb that goes along with the culture. Let's. I'm going to ask you to get your pens and your pads out so you can take some notes, because you know we have gotten really accustomed to using a lot of words from the West African languages that we've become so familiar with and that we have re-embraced whole reclamation movement. However, it is time for us to start using terms that are appropriate to comedic language, starting with a head wrap or headdress. Now, we're used to calling it a gele, G-E-L-E. However, the term that you should use is ibes. That is A, put a diacritical mark over it, so that makes it a short I or short E sound. B as in boys, E-S, ibes. That sounds a lot like ibis, doesn't it? And it makes sense because you're wrapping your head up high, right? And the ibis stands nice and tall on one leg. And when you do the ibis pose in yoga, you are standing straight with one leg propped up on the other. And you are rising up. So it makes sense. Headdress or head wrap, ibis. Okay? Now, let me just say, I have only come across one image of a comedic woman with her head wrapped. And, of course, you know, there are different crowns, you know. But we're just talking about like everyday or traditional garb, what we have now developed as traditional garb. Okay, so if that's the case, then where did the head wrapping come from? Well, let's talk about that. And let me preface that, this is a perfect way of prefacing this entire conversation because we have actually started blending. We started by blending what became more affiliated with Arabic garb and dictated Arabic garb into Kemetic garb. What do I mean? Okay. When the invaders came in, and they adopted a lot of Kemetic traditions because there were many of our priests that they took as prisoners and enslaved. There were many people from the general population that they took in, and they certainly observed the orderly practices of the Kemenyu and thought, hey, you know what, that's going to give us some order, so let's do that, okay? However, in Kemetic culture, there was a great deal of respect for the body that they were not as heavily clad all the time as folks from outside cultures. So what do I mean? Well, if you can walk around comfortably bare-breasted or with very thin, see-through clothing, because you're talking about being in heat. They were out under the sun a great deal. And in many regions, there was a great deal of sand. You know, in more ancient times, the area was more lush. There was more greenery. It was more verdant. But as it became more and more of a barren desert with the sun and the absence of trees, then the emphasis became on dressing in a way that was going to be cool, keep the body cool, not overheat the body, okay? So very sheer clothing was worn. So in a society where people respect one another and where it's understood that this is our mode of dress in order for us to be able to thrive and survive as a people, that meant that there was an understanding of boundaries. I mentioned boundaries in the beginning of the show, appropriate boundaries. That meant, listen, just because I'm dressed like this doesn't mean that you can jump me. Doesn't mean that you can rape me. Doesn't mean you can force yourself. You know, doesn't mean that you can impose yourself on me in a way that is threatening simply because I'm dressed like this. The way it flipped with the conquering cultures that came in was because of the fact that there was not the same level of discipline in respecting the body. Therefore, there was a dictate to cover up, okay? And the idea that you had to cover up in order to prevent another person from harming you spoke more to the lack of self-control that the conquerors had as opposed to people who were living with the laws of Ma'at and who had a clear understanding of boundaries. And certainly our sages wrote a great deal about not violating anyone and you know, having respect. So that meant, especially for the women, that the freedom in dress changed where they were ordered to cover up. But there was also a certain amount of safety that they felt from it, too, because they realized that they were dealing with people who were acting in a barbaric manner. They weren't safe. Then it ended up becoming to the extreme of where, you know, you had to cover your face. You had to cover your head. Everything had to be covered. Again, the onus is on you. If you had anything that was revealing anything other than your hands, your eyes, and your feet, well, actually your feet had to be covered too, but anything than your hands and your eyes, then you were welcoming any kind of trouble that might happen to you. That's a very, let's be frank, that's a very patriarchal way of shifting the responsibility. What has happened has been that today, well, during the last 50 years of the reclamation of our Kemetic culture, more so like 30 especially, I'd say, when patterning of dress was dictated, yes, dictated, it very much incorporated the mode of dress that came from Arabic culture, you know, with the level of modesty. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't heavier robes and heavier dress, because, you know, in Kemet at night, it's cool, cooler. So, yes, you will find when you look up, and I encourage you to look up ancient Egyptian clothing. You will see that there are longer robes. You will see that there are pieces with, I mean, beautiful tapestry and weaving, beautiful, beautiful. Weaving was a sacred art in Kemet. Men and women wove, but it was the domain of the guardians, Heru, Nit, and Desit. So you'll see a lot of really beautiful, long garb, okay? But you'll also notice that there are men and women who have on waist cloths, all right, which we would call a lapa. You know, we have adopted the term lapa from West African culture. The term for that is besu, B-E-S-U. A lot of dancers had on besu, all right, longer, shorter. By the way, besu is also the term for a short tunic. And you'll see that there are some people who maybe work with certain elements that are wearing hair cloths, which would be like a sort of like a bag for the hair, if you will. Yeah, we know what that is, okay? The term for that is sek, S-E-Q. Certainly if you're doing a lot of truly dirty work, you know, you want to wrap up your head, all right? And then you'll see some people at various occasions where they have little more than a belt on, okay? And again, we're talking about different concepts in morality and also in tolerance and also respect. You can't get away with doing that in today's society. You know, you can't walk down the street naked. You can't walk down the street with just a belt on. You have to look at the differences, and then also there were some differences that took place each dynasty. You know, as modes of dress kind of change and fashion came in and out. Anyway, today we have had people who have insisted, oh, well, you can't wear this, or you have to wear this, or, you know, thinking that you can't be bare-shouldered, or that you can't wear short dresses. Well, why not? Seriously, why not? In the 60s, and the 70s, we experienced a cultural revolution, much like the one that took place back in the 20s. Because as I've shared before, anytime you have a society that deals with a great deal of repression, there will be a backlash the other way, where people will be fighting for balance. So we came out of the 50s and 60s with the longer dresses with the fuller skirt and the idea of the old Donna Reed, you know, housewife kind of a thing, and then men in their suits and, you know, just everything being more formal. And So we started wearing shorter dresses as a way of saying, why are we acting like we're ashamed of our bodies? And it was valid. It was absolutely valid. Yeah, the whole thing with body shame also went along with a lot of the repression. I mean, fashion has been ridiculous over the centuries. I mean, the whole thing of being here in the blazing sun and folks have on petticoats and layers and long sleeves and, you know, it's senseless. But to also address fashion today in terms of being African comedic, you know, whatever you are in the reclamation movement, and the notion that you have to be covered up, that it doesn't always make sense. It really doesn't. And there is actually a lot more restriction in that. It again suggests, well, listen, I can't trust you to act right, so I'm going to put all this on. Or I don't trust myself, so I'm going to put all this on to remind me that I shouldn't be inappropriate with my body. You know, everything starts with the mind, everything. So that's what has happened. And quite honestly, going back to the whole thing with the ibes, the headdress, there is not so much of a need for us to have our heads wrapped unless it's for practical reasons. And sometimes, you know, if you're in places where you rub up against other people, you know, like the subway or something like that, you may want to go through some extra lengths to protect your hair because your hair is sacred. Yes, it is sacred, but you realize it's a lot more powerful when it's free. It is. Keeping it wrapped all the time is binding up your power. It absolutely is. Especially if it is locked. If you have a head full of locks, then you're walking around with a head full of power. And these are your antennas. You cannot effectively connect if your antennas are all tied up. You see? That's another reason why people were encouraged to wrap their heads up so that they'd be disconnected from their power. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that came in with the invaders, too. So, I mean, it's interesting when you look at various pictures of the Nassau, the kings, and also the Nassut, the queens. I've seen where there are depictions of them with crowns and then without, or wearing the crown and then their hair flowing free. So it is important to be in tune with what your body needs and in terms of what you wear also, okay? So because ultimately it's about what your heart and your mind reflect out to the world. Let's continue here. Oh, let's talk about Sheshet, wearing white garments. S-E-S-H-P-T, Sheshet, rather, S as in Sam, E as in Sam, H-P-T, wearing white garments. Oh, and by the way, I do want to say this. Listen, you know, I love skirts. I love wearing skirts. You know, I mean, it makes me feel very feminine. I mean, but I can feel very feminine wearing fetch pants, too. You know, but with skirts, I really love wearing them, and in the Women's Mysteries, there is a purpose for the skirt. There's a purpose for the adornment with fringe and shells and beadwork and so forth, and so, but, you know, I just don't want you to think that I'm just, like, down on anything that's long. So you've seen, a lot of you have seen me in long skirts, so, but I'm no longer restricted by the notion that that's all that I can wear. Okay, going back to the Sheshet. White garments are to remind you that your spirits are pure and that we need to get back into the flow of the purity of the spirit. When you wear white garments, it reminds you also to be extra careful about what you do, you know, and not getting it stained. The word for white is hedge, you know, hedge, hedget. And you'll see that there are a lot of images of our ancestors in sacred whites. I've talked to you before in previous episodes about the importance of white that is worn during ceremony. It is in particular worn during initiation ceremony, during seasonal ceremonies, and also various other elevation ceremonies. Now, purification, yes. Is everyone called to wear white all the time? No, no. But the whole I shared with you before about with Easter traditions, how or did I? You know, I think it was something I meant to mention. Easter traditions, the whole idea of wearing a new outfit came from the fact that the Kememu, the people of Kemet, during the season of the spring equinox, made sure to have new white garb. And even if it meant that it was not as white as it could be, you know, people who didn't have as much money couldn't have, you know, a lot of times they would work with the elements that they had. You know, they had they didn't have the finely woven, finely textured garb. You know, it was more rough hewn, but still they would do what they could to get it as white as they possibly could because it represents renewal. Anytime you go through a cycle where you're feeling a shift in your life or you wanting to make a shift in your life, you feel like you're stuck, give yourself 9 straight days of wearing white clothes. 9 straight days. 9 is the number of completion. Actually, you can take it even further and go to 10 because 10 is transcendence. 10 straight days of wearing seshbet and watch how your life changes for the better. Yes, because you're calling in a new vibration within yourself, and you're sending out a clarion call to the universe. I am ready, Anuksapej. I am ready for a change. Okay. Okay. Other aspects of garb. Now, some of you have seen a certain kind of head wrap that men in the culture will wear that is called a nemes. Nemes. You think of the Tutankhamen mask, funerary mask, that was blue and gold and how it fans out on the sides. That actually is supposed to replicate Wajet, the Egyptian cobra, the Kemetic cobra. So that's why it looks like the hood, you know, which is where the whole concept of wearing hoods during ceremony came from, too. All right? It was really emulating the cobra. And the cobra was deadly, greatly feared, greatly revered, greatly respected, and each regent knew to wear the Wajet serpent in the crown, along with anything else that he wore, because he knew he needed that protection, Wajet and from Nekhabet the vulture, all right? But, you know, some have assumed that it's supposed to look like locks. Well, yes, that's true to a degree, because you see the variation in the striping. So that is a stylized way of it being, representing locks. And then it comes down in a braided tail in the bottom. So, yes. But the main thing is it's supposed to represent the protection of the Wajet. Okay? Sandals, teges. T-E-G-E-S. Sandals are really significant because, well, for one thing, they liberate your feet. They both protect and liberate your feet. And in Kemetic culture, protection of the feet is considered essential because the root or rud erit, the root erit, is considered from the feet to the tailbone. Begins with the energy that you pull in from your feet. You take care of your feet. That does not mean that when you are out in winter that you have to wear sandals. We have other shoes to wear, so that it makes sense because the idea, again, is protecting your feet. But when good weather comes, well, again, all weather is good, but when warmer weather comes, then you want to have the feet free. Now, let me just tell you something that I teach the youth whenever I'm doing my various lessons with them regarding African culture. I teach them about the comedic meaning of the sandal for people who were in power and how on the sandal they would have the words and images of their enemies painted onto the sandal so that it would be like stepping on your enemy, you see. But I also teach them that you are able to absorb energy if you put certain metanature, okay, certain glyphs, in order to empower yourself. So that you have a pair of sandals, maybe a favorite pair of sandals you wear all the time. It might not be a bad idea to take some tape that you know is not going to come off, and you're going to put the image, you're going to inscribe the image in the sandal and then put the tape over it, you see. Or if you're able to, with leather, just carve in something, then that's another way of being able to absorb in the energy. In my workshops with the youth, I teach how to make the sandal. I have them make a sandal of their left foot. They trace the left foot, and they cut it out, you know, from cardboard, and then they cover it over with fabric and other things, and then they put in the twine, for the, what do you call it? You know, what you use for flip-flops, what do you call it? Anyway, and they put in the symbols that they want. So that's something you can even do just to have symbolically where you can put it under your bed to absorb the energy. You know, when you're in ritual, you can slip it on because you pull in your energy through the left side, and it is emitted through the right. Yes. Talk about some of the jewelry. This is going to have to be a two-parter here. The sacred Sa, we call protective jewelry Sa, S as in Sam, A. And, you know, it's very popular to wear these different types of jewelry, but you really want to be a lot more mindful of what they do. I've shared with you about the Wusek collar before, the Wusek, which is protective of and invigorating to the heart, the lungs, and the trachea. And if you want to be able to speak truth, then you want to wear a Wusek that has a lot of blue gemstones in it and others that deal with the whole notion of speaking your truth, blue and green, okay? So your true of heart. The ancient Kemenyu were very mindful of the power of gemstones. If you had a Wusek that was full of gemstones, that meant that you had a lot of wealth. It did. But it also meant that you were very mindful of the fact that you have a responsibility with this wealth and you want to be of a pure heart in the way that you deal with it, because of course it covers and touches on the heart. You know, now Wusek come in different lengths. Wusek, Wusekh, or just U-S as in Sam, E-K-H, Wusek. The U is pronounced like a W sound, Wusek. Don't just decide, oh, this looks nice, and just grab any old thing because it looks like it's comedic. Be mindful. And you'll see the Wusek has actually gone throughout African culture, throughout a number of throughout West Africa, Central Africa, Southern Africa. You know, it is a prevalent style. You know, some people think of it as a collar, okay, or a bib. It's a wusek, okay. And then, especially if you have one with a kepra that is in the center, kepra, who is the scarab, the beetle of change, transformation. Listen, if you really want to change your life, if you're at that really pivotal place, wear your seshbet and put on kepra, and then call on kepra to change you. Kepra or keprit. Keprit is the female aspect. Now listen, the female is always stronger than the male. You don't believe me? Try. You call on them and you find out. You know, kepra is powerful, but keprit, man, oh my goodness. And you know, I want to say this to you. There are many crafters out here, no artisans, I want to say, who are creating unbelievably beautiful pieces of jewelry incorporating our sacred stones. You want to get someone who is doing it with pure intention and, you know, where you're not really worried about, you know, whether you're going to get something that's kind of wonky, you know. I know right at Refall headquarters, we have a sister, her name is Diane, who showed me the most gorgeous wusek collar and bracelet and jewelry, and earrings that were with kepra, because she knows I'm initiated through the Shrine of Kepra. And that's when I get my, when I'm ready, I'm coming for it, okay? So be very mindful of who you get it from. As well, you can pick up pieces from off the street, and you know, you can flip the energy around, of course. But you don't want to deal with somebody who you know from jump has really jacked up energy, all right? Because then you've got to really work very super hard to overcome it, to flip it around, and in truth, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, then take it to a priest or priestess who will be able to do that for you. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. Yeah, this is going to have to be part one and part two, because there's so many other aspects to the garb, like the apron, like the, you know, well, what about the waist belt? What about the, what's on that belt? What is that about, you know? And that's tied in with money, believe it or not, and tied into the belly dance tradition. And so many other things that we will do in part two. Listen, if you have any particular questions regarding Kemetic culture, please write me. Go to the Akheru Temple website, akherukemetictemple.info. That's Kemetic, K-H-A-M-E-T-I-C. There's a particular reason why we have our spelling as K-H. If you want to know about that too, you can ask me. But reach out. Also, if you want materials like lectures, my e-books, even Kemetic music, then visit the website queenmotherimaku.info. Go to my store. You'll find that there's a lot there. If you want to get one of our fundraising t-shirts, you know, hey, that's cool too. Just reach out. And if you want a consultation, some people are reaching out to me to have a Kemetic name, a Ren. And so there's a consultation for that, and you get a report based on your birth chart and so forth, and so much more that there is to offer. Come and see me, or either come and book me for public appearances. I'm out there back on the spoken word circuit, like I told you, and it's a blessing and a privilege. Take good care of yourself this week. Give yourself much love. I send you mine. I'm Reverend Dr. Queen Mother Imaku Mereya.